Good morning, good morning. All right, so last week, good morning, good to see you. Last week we did the psukim about, and we spoke about angels a little bit, not really much, but just a drop. We mentioned the fact that in the pasuk it tells us that Hashem says, as we are going to be entering the land of Israel, He's going to send an angel who's going to go before us, and it sounds wonderful in a certain way, that it sounds like there's protection and it's amazing. And we had just interesting, in last week's parsha, we had the promise that Hashem, not promise, but the actual fact of the story, how Eliezer went to find the wife for Rivka, and how Avraham told Eliezer that Hashem will send an angel before, and then Eliezer says Hashem sent an angel with me, and we have lots of angels accompanying and angels doing lots of work behind the scenes, helping the shidduch actually come to fruition. So in last week's parsha, and in the next few parshas, every time we mention good morning Daisy, every time we mention the angels, we are very happy because they're there to protect, they're there to assure success in the mission, and it's a fantastic thing. But when we analyzed our pasuk, we saw that our pasuk might be hinting to something not so amazing. What is it? And Rashi told us that the Jewish people, when they enter the land of Israel, it won't be so amazing. They might have to have an angel. The reason is because Hashem will, so to speak, remove or hide His presence to a certain extent, and therefore it will be He will be represented by an angel. So in that case, it's a little bit of a, if you want to say, it's not a positive message, it's almost not negative, but it's showing that we are not so worthy of Hashem's revealed presence, and we can only have an angel. And we said that related to that was that when the Jews sinned at the golden calf, at the Chet HaEgel, we know that afterwards Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, now I'm not going to be amongst them anymore, and only a malach will go in front of them, an angel. And it says over there that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we spoke about last week at length, was very upset, and he says, we're not moving from here, Hashem, until you promise me that you will remain with the Jewish people and you will accompany them on their travels. And we said that Moshe got what he wanted. Hashem said, yes, I will do what you ask, and Hashem did stay with the Jewish people. And this message of these psukim only happened in the time of Yehoshua. When Yehoshua came, Joshua took the Jewish people into the land of Israel, so Moshe had passed away. At that point, and we have that introduction of an angel, a malach, in the Sefer Yehoshua, in the Midrashim, it tells us that Yehoshua saw an angel, and he wasn't even sure, as we mentioned last week, who is this angel? Is he coming as an aid, or is he coming to oppose? In other words, is he the angel of the enemy? He wasn't even sure. But then when the angel introduced himself and said, no, I will accompany you and protect you and help you in your wars, Yeshua was very happy. And the malach, the way it describes it, had this sword drawn in his hand, and he was there to help the Jewish people. So it's an interesting combination in the sense of the psukim. We did, again, we're not going to go at length, we did discuss last week a little bit at length, does a malach mean that Hashem is not there? Does a malach just mean a different type of revelation? And it was a whole discussion about that. There's different opinions. If Hashem is still amongst the Jewish people, is it just a little bit less, so to speak, revealed, and they don't feel that, so to speak, as accessible, whatever it may be, or is the malach really just the way Hashem reveals Himself? So there's different ways of putting it. The bottom line is, though, that even though it might come from a negative reason, in other words, that we're not so worthy of Hashem's open, revealed presence, nevertheless, the malach does tremendous help for us. And what does the malach do? And as we started to say last week, he will help us to go into the land of Israel, to conquer, to divide, and then hopefully to get to the goal, conquering Jerusalem and building the Beis HaMikdash. So that was for sure definite. Now we read the psukim that told us also other beautiful things, and today we're going to continue. Because when the Jewish people enter into Eretz Yisrael, there's a few beautiful things that it tells us. First, in the method of how they're going to be able to conquer, and also certain seemingly side benefits. So I just want to show you something. If you look at, I know there's three different booklets. So the booklet that is a booklet of commentaries that, the ones that have numbers, but not the one sheet, the one that has a lot of sheets on it. So, because I'd like to go to number, we didn't do number 6. And yeah, so in that booklet, AZ, so find number 6, it's on the last page of the booklet. Yes, okay, very good. Because the other ones we did last week, let's see number six. So this we didn't do. I just want, this is just a small thing, a beautiful thing, the Chasam Sofer, it's in English. A beautiful thing. So it says, Hine anoichi sheileach malach lefanecha. Right, that's what we read. Hashem said, I'm going to send a malach before you, lishmorcha baderech, to guard you, to watch you on your way. And then it says, Villahaviacha el hamokai masher hachinoisi, and to bring you to the place that I have made ready. So the Chasam Sofer says, if you look at the exact wording, you'll see that there's two different things being mentioned here, where the malach will take us. So it's, and I'll show you, we can read it quickly in English. It says, this pasuk may be alluding to two instances in which Hashem's angel assisted Bnei Yisrael. First, Yeshua encamped on the road towards Yericho, visualized Hashem's angel with his sword drawn, encouraging him to persist. Like, so that was the first time. Likewise, David was assured that his choice of Aravna's stable as the site for the future Beis HaMikdash was correct, as evidenced by an angel's presence there. So what do we see? In the pasuk, it says that the angel came l'shmarcha baderech. What's baderech? On the way, that's for Yehoshua. And the second part of the pasuk, El Hamokai Masher Hachinoisa, to the place which I have prepared to show David HaMelech, which is exactly the place, as we mentioned last week, that corresponds down here in this world to the temple, to the Beis HaMikdash in the higher realms. Because obviously in the higher realms, it's not, we don't see. So therefore the Malach showed David, this is the right place. And that's what it means. That's the second part of the pasuk. Okay, so the angel plays two big roles, although he plays many small roles. And amongst them, as we say, is that he actually accompanied Yeshua throughout the entire travels. I want to show you something else beautiful. Look at number seven. I made a copy because he says it very nicely, even though this is not a direct quote, but it's explaining a Zayar, because we mentioned a little bit of connection last week, but we asked an interesting question. In the previous weeks, anybody who didn't come last week will try and say, what's going on over here? Why all of a sudden we're talking about going into the land of Israel, angel? We were talking about a list of whole bunch of mitzvahs, and the last mitzvah that we mentioned was not to mix milk and meat. What's the connection between a malach and milk and meat and the Jews entering the land of Israel? So let's see what he says. So the Zayar says beautifully. The Zayar, however, explains this verse's connection with the previous passage in another way. Okay, so he says like this. The prohibition against mixing milk and meat symbolizes the restriction against distributing the source of human wisdom. Human wisdom here is being represented by the mother's milk. And what shouldn't we do? We shouldn't mix it with a foreign element. And what's the foreign element in our context? In our context, we're talking about the gedi. What does the gedi symbolize? We say the tender young animal, which is a pseudonym for the wicked Esav. Why is Esav referred to as a kid? Because we know, and that's actually this week's parasha, when Yaakov needed to appear like Esav, he covered his arms and necks with the skins of young goats. So now, what are we told to do here? Israel is told not to bring the goat kid, which we say is the insignia of Esav, into our spiritual heritage, our mother's milk. But the Torah tells us something interesting. Such forbidden mixtures will not abrogate the covenant with Hashem. We will never be separated. Nothing will actually separate us. What's it going to do? It says, instead, their effect will be that he will restrict himself to sending his intermediary in place of his own presence. Why? Well, how does that make sense? In effect, the intrusion of an external element into the intimacy of the covenant is Hashem's response to Israel's mixing an external factor into their observance of the covenant. We mix Esav, or whatever Esav represents, many, many different things, into our pure milk. Hashem mixes an angel into our relationship with him. So we don't have a direct relationship as we should have, because we have taken other foreign things into our pure connection to Torah mitzvahs. So this is a very, very beautiful direct connection, which is a very much of a theme that runs through that, and it runs through, we'll see today, and it's not always so easy to see this, but this is something that we believe, that like when we talk about reward and punishment, so there is a concept of reward and punishment, but Torah really is more about actions and consequences to those actions. So when we do something, it causes an effect, right? So something happens. So when we do an avera, yeah, it's true. When we do something wrong, we do get punished. But the real punishment is the fact that we are disconnecting, so to speak, on a certain level. We can never completely disconnect, but we are, so to speak, jeopardizing our relationship with Hashem. We are making it a lot thinner, so to speak, and that's the problem. And therefore, different things follow. And we're going to see today what actually follows. The next one, number 8, just put this to a side for a minute, because I'd like to reread the pasuk. So if you look at the psukim, the one with the chumash for a minute. So we're on page 307. I think that might be, it's the second page of your booklet, because we've read page 306. Let's see, we've read this, and I know we have. I just want to show you something, though. I want to reread this pasuk. Let's reread pasuk Chav Dalet from 24. Because it tells us that, first it tells us the angel will go before us, and then it says, Lo yisishtachavel elekehem, do not bow down to their gods. V'lo yisa'avdeim, and don't serve them. V'lo yisa'asekem ma'aseihem, don't do like their actions. Ki hareis tarseim, rather you should totally destroy them, demolish them. V'shaber tishaber, right, you shall smash matzei v'aseihem, their standing stones. So this pasuk, as we can see, is referring to idol worship. Just generally, why do we mention idol worship here? Because they're about to enter the land of Israel. And the land of Israel, the people that were living there, were idol worshippers. So when you come in, you're going to find a lot of idols. Good morning. And therefore, you have to make sure to destroy them. The pasuk tells us, even though this has been said many times, it repeats it because this is about to happen, and this is a very important mitzvah. And let's just see the next pasuk, because I want to see what it says here. Now, Va'avadatem eis Hashem elikeichem. Good morning. And you will serve Hashem your God. Uveirach, and this is a very beautiful pasuk. Uveirach es lachmecha, and he will bless your bread. Ve'es meimecha, and your water. Vahasiroisi machala mikirbecha, and Hashem says, I will remove illness from your midst. We're waiting for this, right? Okay, now let's understand. There are other psukim. You know what? Today I'd like to read a little bit more, and then we're going to go back, because really it flows. Last week we finished here, but I just want to show you, because these are all the brachas that Hashem says that he will do when we will destroy the idol worship, when we will enter Eretz Yisrael, and hopefully feel Hashem's presence. So it says in Pasuk Chavov, Lo yisiyeh, so this is the bottom of page 307, right? The last, yeah, here we are. Lo yisiyeh mishakela, and this is a very, there shall be no, as he says here, mishakela ba'akara, there shall be no woman who loses her young or is infertile ba'artzecha in your land. Es mispar yomecha amale, I shall fill the number of your days. These are really beautiful brachas. Very strong, very beautiful brachas. And then he says even more. So these are, so to speak, if you want to say, personal brachas. Then he goes to a more general, and he says, Es emosi ashalach lefanecha, I will send my fear before you, v'hamoisi es kol ha'am, and I will confuse, they use the word confuse, so I will totally confuse the nation, asher tavai, amongst who you will come, right, because this is where you are about to enter the land of Canaan, and all the people that live there, before you even arrive, will be filled with dread. And they will therefore, because of their anxiety, become very confused. V'nasati es kol oyvecha elecha, and then I will give all of your enemies into your hands. I will make them their back to you. In other words, they will run away. Even before you come, they will run. This is like, well, we haven't really seen this so much. However, we know that as Hashem says, and in a certain way we can see it, if we come with that inner strength, with that inner conviction, this is our land, this is Hashem gave us, right? Hashem promises us, he's sending us a malach. When we come to fight, he's going to instill fear and dread in our enemies to the extent that even if they want to be brave, they won't be able to be brave because they'll be full of anxiety, becomes totally confused, turn around and run away. And then he says, even after all of that, which is amazing. So now you come to a land, sounds like there's no enemies, sounds fantastic. You can take over. But Hashem says, you know what, I won't just leave it at that. I'm going to do another kindness. Vishalachti es hatzira lefanecha. We'll discuss this at length in a minute. What's Hashem going to do? He's going to send, they don't translate it. I'll just tell you, tzira can be a form of wasp. Some Mefarshim say tsaras. It was interesting. The Eben Ezra, he's his own little opinion, that Hashem will send tsaras, which is leprosy, like a plague. Most people say tsira is not that. It's a type of an insect that stings. And he will send that. Why will he send that? V'gersha es hachivi, es haknani, v'es hachivi milfanech. And he only names a few of the nations. And he will it will drive away these nations, the chivi, the knani, and the chiti. They will be driven away through this insect. Loi agarshenu mipanecha b'shana achas. Okay, you know what, it doesn't make any sense. Let me just tell you before we go further. What's this insect and why is he sending those three nations? So it's a very interesting discussion because it says that there was a kind of a wasp. Let's see, I'll show you. Let's look into Rashi. 28 Rashi. Even though we'll go back to a few others, but I just want to show you something. The tzira. So it's Rashi tells us, min sheret ha'if, a species of flying insect. And what does it do? This is page 309 in the middle, pasuk 28. V'haysam maka aysam be'enehem. It would strike them in their eyes. Umitila bahem eres, and inject venom into them. V'heimesim, and then they would die. Now, obviously, these nations were a little bit more challenging, perhaps, to get. They couldn't just outwardly fight them. So Hashem says, I will prepare a method where I will destroy them in this miraculous way, and they won't be able to stop you from entering and living in the land. Why is it that these nations are a little bit more challenging? So there was one opinion that I saw that was interesting, that a lot of this nation were very underhand. And what they did was, they didn't come out directly as an army. Rather, what did they do? They decided to stay and hide in different places in the land. And therefore, as the Jewish people would enter, perhaps either they would be able to harm them because they're hidden, or they would definitely not allow them to live where they were living, right? So therefore, there would always be this presence, and that would be a very big challenge. So Hashem says, don't worry about it. Even the people who don't come out right and fight with you, and therefore you can't kill them that way, I will take care of them before you have a chance to enter the land. And how? Miraculously. And something very interesting. What kind of thing? It says a fascinating thing. He says, V'atzira lo avra es hayarden. The tzira didn't cross the Jordan. V'achivi v'aknani heim eretz zichen v'ayik. So Rashi's opinion is that these people that we're talking about, the chittim and the knanim in this verse, are not the ones who live in Eretz Yisrael proper, but rather the ones who live, as we would call it now, Jordan, where the 2.5 tribes settled and across the Yarden in the land of Sichain and Oig. As he says, Lefichach mikol sheva umais loy manakan eleilu. That's why only these are mentioned out of all of the seven. V'chivi afal pi shehu me'ever ha'yardein. But there was one nation mentioned here who is definitely living in Eretz Yisrael. They are across the Jordan. In other words, they're not in Jordan. They're in the land of Israel. So what does this mean according to Rashi? So he says an interesting thing. Because we said that this special fly, whatever, this wasp, didn't cross the Yarden. So Rashi says, cute, he says, Shana Rabbi Seydu Masecha Saita, Al Svas HaYarden Amda, that the Tzira stood at the bank of the Jordan opposite the land of Canaan, Vizarka Bahemara, and shot venom at the Chivitz from the opposite bank. This is beyond miraculous. It's something that sounds like from, I don't know, from some movie, you know, from a child's film that you would make. What does this mean? What's the idea? Why is the Torah telling us? The main point that he's telling us is, don't worry. If I promised you that you can enter the land of Israel, I'll do everything that I need to do, and you will be able to conquer it. There's nothing to worry about. All you have to do is trust in Hashem and go about following whatever the leader at the time tells you to do, and do what needs to be done. If it needs a wasp from across the Jordan to send across a venom, that will happen. According to some opinions, Yehoshua, there was a certain tzira that was for Moshe, and there was a certain one for Yehoshua. Different kinds, different species of wasps. But they did their job.
Atsira, that's what I'm saying, it's a kind of wasp that poisons in the eye and the person dies. Some crazy kind of, yeah. But some miraculous way that Hashem will destroy the enemy, even the enemies who are hiding. Okay, so as he says, or the enemies that are, whichever one it is, all the enemies. Okay, these are some of the brachas. That's, I just want to go to finish off how he describes what will happen. So now it sounds all wonderful and beautiful because all the enemies are gone. But then Hashem says even more than that. Loi agarshenu mipanecha b'shana echas. I shall not drive them away from you in 1 year. Why not? Wouldn't it be better if they all just disappear in a minute? Because he says, pentiye ha'aretz shmama. Because then the land will become desolate. V'raba alecha chayes ha'sadeh. And the beasts of the field will increase over you. In other words, when you enter the land, I don't want you to enter a land that has been empty from people and just become totally overgrown with everything and with wild animals running wild. I'm going to do it for you in the most beautiful way possible. You're going to come into the land, slowly but surely I'll get rid of all your enemies, and as soon as the enemies are gotten rid of, you settle on the land which has just been inhabited. So to us it might sound like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if he just got rid of everybody at once? And here the Torah tells us Hashem has thought about it before and he has a better plan, so to speak. Part of the message is, as we know in life, we would love to many times tell Hashem, I know a better way to run, you know, like I know how I want my day to run. And for us, it could make sense. But as we can see, Hashem has his plans and we don't understand them. And he knows how to do them. And sometimes, not a lot of times not, but sometimes he lets us see why. So here he's showing us the kindness in this seemingly more challenging way of entering the land. But there's a kindness, there's a reason for it, and he shows us here. I just want to finish a few more psukim, as he says, Pasuk Lamed on page 310, and then we're going to discuss in depth a little bit more all the beautiful brachas. Ma'at, ma'at agarshenu mipanecha. Little by little shall I drive them from before you. Ad asher tifre, until you will become fruitful. V'nachalta es ha'aretz, and I will make the land your heritage. It's a very beautiful bracha, because in this bracha you see Hashem is promising that we will be fruitful. And some people say that they see it now after the Holocaust, that people were, the Jewish people, I mean, I don't know if we've reached the number yet, we're almost about to reach the number, but the point is that Hashem does give tremendous brachas sometimes that we can see if we stop. We don't want any of the difficulty, but sometimes after that, and so many Jews were wiped out, and now we've been able to multiply and had the conditions to have many, many children, so to speak, many a larger Jewish population in a more miraculous way. Because life, in a sense, for most people, the conditions of life are a little bit easier, so to speak, which makes it that people can live longer, live healthier lives. Let's see now, and that was what happened over here. But here he says, Vishati es kvulcha. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not going to go into this pasuk at length. I don't know the borders. I wish I did. This is only one small place. This is really spoken about much more at length in Chumash Devarim. But here he just mentions, I shall place your borders, miyam suf viyad yam plishtim. It's very not clear exactly what each of these places refer to. But we know the Yam Suf, that's in the south, that's what the Jewish people crossed, you know, from Egypt. The Ad Yam Plishtim, until the Sea of the Plishtim, Umi Midbar, so that's from the desert, Ad HaNahar, and Rashi tells us what's the Nahar, that's talking about Nahar Pras, which is in the north. Again, that's also a question, where exactly is that border? Because according to some people, that can be very high up, like take a lot of Lebanon in it as well. That could have been part of the biblical Israel. It could be included, or perhaps it's a river much lower, so it's not 100% clear. Whatever these borders are, what we are told is that we have never, ever actually had all of these borders, and this will be ours when Mashiach will come for sure. So even if we haven't yet attained it, these places have potential Israel in them, so to speak, even if we are not able to have them now. But as he says, and then he says, Ki etein b'yedchem es yeshvei ha'aretz, because I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hands, v'geirash tamay mipanecha, and you will drive them away from before you. And then he continues, and this is two very important psukim that we'll finish, incredibly important. Now, all this is wonderful because I'm going to make such miracles for you, but you have to remember one important thing. When you do conquer, when you're living in the land, just remember, you shall not seal a covenant with them or with their gods. Such an important message. You might get complacent. Remember, when you enter the land, there'll still be enemies there. Remember, he's not chasing them all out at once. You might be tempted to make some peace treaties with them. It could be. But I want to qualify something here. When he says that don't make covenants with them, a lot of the commentaries say, what does it mean with them? It means with those who do not accept Hashem as their God. Doesn't mean they convert, but if they accept the seven Noahide laws, then it is perhaps permissible to allow them to live there. But if they don't accept the seven Noahide laws, perhaps it is not. This is, again, I'm not going into the halacha and everything. This is a whole big discussion of how this works. But in the ideal situation, as we can see, one thing for sure, you don't make a covenant with their gods, which means that we are not permitted to allow idol worship or idols to remain in the land of Israel. Why? Why is that? Because, as we said, they should not dwell in your land. Because what's going to happen? They're going to influence you. They're going to cause you to sin against me. In that you will worship their gods. As he says, which will be a hazard. In other words, it will be a stumbling block for you. Having it around you is not a good thing. It's too tempting. It's too difficult to live in the same place right next door to idol worship, as we say, in your holy land. Okay, let's go back. We're going to discuss a little bit at length all the different things. I want to start from what we said. Very powerful psukim here, just the psukim themselves. Very beautiful, very powerful. But let's understand a little bit more depth of what we mentioned here. So, I want to see. I think there wasn't any Rashi that we missed. I want to just make sure. Okay. Just want to go back to what we said about the water. At the beautiful bracha at the beginning, he said, what's he going to do? He's going to send a bracha into your water and into your bread, right? We said, I want to just show you something. Let's first look at, no, this one is not the water and the bread. Sorry, let's find which one has the water and the bread. Because there's so many beautiful ones here. Oh, did I make a copy of that one? Probably not. I'll tell you that orally. Okay, what's the water and the bread? So the Mefarshim talk about something very beautiful, and they say like this. That, and this is an interesting thing because we're, don't forget, this is Chumash written by Hashem, and the commentaries that I'm quoting are written hundreds of years ago. But they tell us something very beautiful that we all know nowadays. That the first thing that a person has to know if they want to be healthy is that the water has to be healthy. Now, to us it's obvious, but in those days it wasn't so obvious. And they discuss something interesting, that the water and the bread symbolize almost two different aspects. On the one hand, the food that we ingest, that we take internally, has to be healthy, as well as the environment has to be healthy. And then I think last week we could see, when the air quality is no good, how it has a terrible effect. And here Hashem is giving a bracha that he will ensure that both things will be proper. You will have healthy food, so to speak, and you will have a healthy environment so that you can thrive. Because spiritual thriving is dependent if you are healthy physically as well. So this comes through many of the Mefarshim. I want to see inside. Sorry, Simmons. I don't want to miss some beautiful things. Okay. Yes, and then he also, another beautiful thing, he says like this, that I thought I made one. I'm so sorry. I just want to check. I think I have one that does mention. Oh, let's see. Number two. Yeah. Sorry. Let's look at number two. In this one, that's just one sheet. I want to show you. Here's the Ramban. Number two. I'll show you. He says like this. Kavanas hakasov. The intention. It's this one here. So number two on this one. Yeah. The intention of the pasuk. Most people who serve idols, yakiru v'yedu ki Hashem hanichbad hu elekei ha'elekim v'adaynei ha'adaynim. They also recognize that God as we know him is also the God over all gods, and he's the master over all masters. So why do they serve idols? So he says their intention is not rak yachshavu ki ba'avodas sahem tielahem hatzlocha, that they think that they are actually serving a god. Rather, they think that by serving this idol, so to speak, it will give them success. And let's see how it works. Kigoin sheyavdu hashemesh, that they serve the sun. Why? Ba'avor shematzu loytai eles bitvuos, because with the sun, that's what provides, as we know, that the crops should grow properly. So they look at it as an intermediary, and they say, we want the sun to shine properly, so that the sun will cause the crops to grow healthily and properly. The hayareach, as we know, the moon, b'mayonos, so b'chol hatoimes, affects all of the different wellsprings, all the waters, all the oceans. The chen kayetze b'hem mikol tzva hashamayim, and all the constellations have an effect on the different natural things in the world. The chol shekein, sheyachshavu ki tiyel lahem toisefes toiva ba'avoydas hamalochem. More than that, they think serving the sun and the moon is one thing, but we'll even serve the angels. Because if we serve angels, then we're definitely insured of success, because he says, Ba'avor Shehem Mechabdim, so to speak, Mishar Sehakel HaGadol, they are like the honored servants of Hashem. And therefore, if I am defer, so to speak, honor to them, they will, so to speak, if you want to say, it's almost like a lobbyist. So they'll help us, they'll put in a good word for us to Hashem, and then we're assured of success. So that might be the way some people think. That's what people who worship idols think. That's their view. And then he says like this, V'al kein yoymer ha-kasav hazeh, that's why this pasuk tells us, ki ba'avodas ha-kadosh baruch hu bilvad. Don't be worried. If you serve only Hashem directly, tiyelohem ha-tzlocha v'hashmira, you will have success and you will have guarding. V'akiras avodas gilulim loy sazik. And getting rid of all that idols will not harm you. Think about it, in those days, the people, I mean, it's like anybody now, if you see somebody who's very superstitious, and they might be afraid, they say, if I do this, then it will cause harm. So Hashem has to assure us, and that's why he says, before he tells us to destroy the idols, he says, don't worry, I'll take care of you. I'll make sure you have water, I'll make sure you have bread, and it will be good, and everything, when you'll live long lives, and you'll be healthy. Don't worry, the fact that I'm telling you to take care of those idols, no harm will befall you. This is an assurance that Hashem tells us. Aval toisif, not only won't it harm you, but it will increase toiva ubracha. Why? How will you increase in goodness if you get rid of the idols? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu yivorech lach, Hashem will actually bless your bread. For who klal, and what is blessing your bread? So the Ramban here explains, this means generally, l'chol maichol asher yoichol, he will bless everything you eat. V'yivorech meimecha. And why does he say that he will bless your water? Shu'av l'chol mashka asher yishta, because he's the father, so to speak, of every drink. In other words, water is exactly the source. That's it. And he's the main one. He is everything. V'habracha hi taisefes bahen. What is this brachas, the Ramban tells us? What does it mean he's going to bless your bread and bless your water? That you're going to have a lot. You're going to have enough. Enough water, as we know, that's a massive bracha. In Sydney, we know that very well. And enough bread all over the world, we know what that means, that a person shouldn't ever go without. So he says like this, Kloimar, and then he goes on, V'amar ha-vahasiroisi machala mikirbach, right, I will remove all illness. Kloimar sha'osir ba'osir bahem machala mikirbach, so I will remove illness from within you, she'yiyu ha-ma'acholim v'ha-mashkim. This means that all the food and all the drink will be toivim, good, ubriyim, and healthy. Lo yaylidu machala, they won't, so to speak, cause illness, aval yirpu mimena, but you will be healed from the food. And this is a very beautiful thing, because what he's saying, this is also very, as you say, if you want to say nowadays, finally, I mean, they're trying, except I think maybe there's too much money and other things, trying to explain to us that if we want to be healthy, the most important thing is we have to be careful first and foremost in what we eat and what we drink. And then the medication is the afterwards. But better to do the preventative, better to sustain ourselves and make sure, and the Torah is already telling us that, as soon as you're careful with your food and your drink, then your illness is removed from you automatically. That's what the Ramban says. Explains that the Pasuk says. So he says very beautifully, so also talks about the fact that a woman will not miscarry, and also and there won't be any woman who is barren in her womb, and she die, as he says, so that her breasts will not be dry. The Ramban lived in the 1200s in Spain, so this is quite profound. He says that if the food and the drink and the avir, in other words, the air that you're breathing, mivurachim, if they're blessed, yiyu hagufim briim, then your bodies will be healthy. And all of the parts of the body that need to work will work the way they need to. As we can say, all the reproductive organs, everything will work properly. And that leads to what he said afterwards, I will increase. You will have enough children, grandchildren to populate the land. One follows directly from the other. Okay, so very beautiful brachas, and as we can see, what it's dependent on, as we said before, was our, first of all, our connection to Hashem, but the action is to get rid of the idol worship, as we said. Okay, that's a very important thing in order to ensure that Hashem will give us these brachas. I want to show you a beautiful one, number three. Let's see the bracha, Es Mispar Yamecha Amali, that I will make you sure that your days are full. In other words, that can be explained in many ways. Let's see what he says. Shela Yomus B'Melchama, you will not die in war, Oy B'Mageifa, or in any plague. Oy, very interesting, B'Shinoy Ha'avir. Fascinating, again, that the air, the environment shouldn't change, shouldn't be detrimental, shouldn't be harmful. Rak bezikna, only you will die in old age. Sheyimale yomim kemispra asher heim, chaye ha'adam b'dayreis of the bracha is that each one in their generation will live as much as it's expected in that generation. Kigoin shivim v'shmainim shana, kedar David HaMelech, in the time of David HaMelech was 70, 80 years, as he says in Tillim. Ukvaris karti kikol eilen nisim, sheyase Hashem b'shamayim uva'aretz. So we might think this all sounds natural, right? You know, right food, right drink, environment working. It is natural, but it's a miracle. It is a miracle, and we know it's a miracle. When Hashem puts everything into place to work properly, it's a miracle. And that's what the Ramban here says. He says a very beautiful thing, that all of these miracles that he will do in the heavens and in the earths, maifsim, actually they're wonders, and they're there for us to notice. Ba'avur oisei ritzayne, for the ones who do his will. V'amar ki kasher yase imohem ois l'toiva, when he will do for them a sign for good. Everything that happens in the positive will happen in the negative for the enemies, for the ones who try to prevent us from doing the right thing. As we mentioned, what's he going to do? He's going to make them anxious. Yeah, angry, exactly. Angry, very good, and anxious. Full of trembling, full of fear, the oid yishlach behem es hatzira, and we know anxiety is quite big now, it's a sad thing, but anxiety is a very terrible thing, takes over your whole life and destroys it. And then he says he's going to send the tzira, these wasps, v'hu min yadua kigayin hadvayr, it's a kind of like a bee, he says, umaskirim aysim chachamim tadir, and the chachamim explained that many times. Okay, so we can see over here, all it's so magnificent how the brachas are explained. But again, even though it seems so simple, we know it's not simple. In our own lives, we know it's not simple. So when things work, it's absolutely beautiful. And this is a bracha that Hashem gives us. Sometimes we're still waiting for the bracha, and we're mirtz Hashem, it will happen. But let's just see in number four. I wanted to show you one more thing in number four. We'll go through. Hachivi v'haknani v'hachiti. So he mentions only, he says, derech k'tzara, only a few of the nations, because really there are seven nations. The Hakavana b'chol haniskarim mala, but really he means all of the nations. Why these? So here he says something interesting. V'hanochein be'einai ki shloisha eila lo yotzu rubam b'milchama, because these three, this is what I told you before, these three didn't, most of them didn't go out to war. V'loy naflu b'hem b'charu, so they weren't killed with the sword. So where were they? They were hiding in these fortresses. So this is the only way that they died, right? Like he gives an example in Egypt. Right? So in Egypt also, right? He had to go sometimes into the homes to destroy. Whichever way he needs, Hashem finds the enemy and he will make sure to take care of them. That's what it says in Chumash Devarim. Avud hanisharim, why? Until the ones who are left will be destroyed, v'hanistarim, and the ones who are hiding, mipanecha. So again, a very beautiful assurance that even the ones who don't actually come out to fight, but the ones who are hiding, Hashem will find a way of destroying them. Now, I want to show you something beautiful. Number five, the Al Shechanem, from this will go to other beautiful things of lessons here. Because we also mentioned this very beautiful at the beginning, it introduces it with Va'avadatem es Hashem, that you shall serve Hashem, right? That's what he said. Because all these brachas are, so to speak, dependent on us serving Hashem. And the question is, for many of us, what does it mean you should serve Hashem? What does this include? It's a very such a generalized word, serve. What does serving mean? So we could just say, just doing all the mitzvahs, right? There are many ways to explain it, but I want to just show you something beautiful. He says, "Ki einai daime lemelech hamitzave meya ish laseis loimigdal." You cannot compare this to a king who commands 100 people to make a tower for him. She'enai choshev kama yavnu. He doesn't care how many of them build it. And in other words, what each one individually is doing. What does he care about? Ella she'yavnu. What does this king care about? It should get done. The job should get done. And then he says, uscharam shava, and their pay is equal. But here he says it's different. Because what is the Al Sheikh commenting on? The pasuk starts via vadatem in the plural, and then it says uveirach eslachmecha in the singular. I will bless your bread and your water. Beirach is in the singular. Yeah, it's very interesting. So he says something very profound here, and there's a few that comment about this discrepancy of the plural to the singular. So he says, generally, people don't care. Get a whole, group of people to do a job, as long as the job gets done, equal pay, and the person doesn't take an actual interest into what each individual is contributing. With Hashem, it's very different. Schar kol echad bifnei atzmai, the reward for each person is individual. Va'afilu im yasu elef mitzvah achas. Even if 1,000 people do the same mitzvah, elazeh asa be'etzev v'zeh besimcha. One person does it happily. One person does it begrudgingly. A different reward. It's a different response. The job is getting done, but Hashem does care. He cares how you do it, the circumstances that you're doing it in, how challenging it might be for you at that moment to do that mitzvah, because life isn't so amazing. Hashem cares and he notices. So even though when he gave us the Torah and the mitzvahs, he gave it to us as a group, we were all there, 3 million people in front of Har Sinai, right? All of us. Nevertheless, he gave it to each individual. And he cares and he notices the work of each individual. And it's a very beautiful combination. That's what the Al-Sheikh explains. And then, let me just see. V'zebek havana kala, v'zebek deila. So one person has a little bit of intent, some has more intent. V'oid al tachshev shetzorich la'avedes ha'mazul. The other thing is, don't think that you have to worship, the constellation, so to speak. Ki mizaynei banei v'chayei b'mazul atalia. Because we might think that all the natural things are dependent on the constellation, so to speak, on nature. So you might think, oh, well, I better be careful. Why? Ki Hashem yivarech lachmecha. Don't forget, it's God. He's the one giving the blessing. Yosir mishakeil v'akar. So he's going to remove the woman who loses the children, the barren one. Gam im hamazel moira aleihem. Even if it looks like they're predestined, so to speak, naturally, for them not to be able to succeed, So he said, interesting thing. V'yemale misper yamecha, and I will fill the days of your life. So in other words, even if it looks like a person is sick or has a natural thing that's wrong, Hashem can overcome that You have to trust in Hashem. He's the one totally in charge of everything. That's a very beautiful thing. I want to show you one more kliyakar about the singular and the plural. So that's number 6. Va'avadatem es Hashem. Hischil b'loshin rabim v'sayim b'loshin yachid. He begins in the plural and ends in the singular. L'fisha kol Yisrael areivim ze ba'ad ze. So he has a different angle. We are all responsible one for another. V'lo yivarech Hashem lechem shel kol yachid v'yachid. Hashem is not going to bless the bread of every individual. Adarsher yihiyu oivdei Hashem rabim. Until we collectively serve Hashem. V'yavdu kol zera Yaakov ke'echad. And we all serve Hashem together. As yivurach, I don't know how you say yivurach, I don't know, Leah, how do you say it? I don't know, the diktuk lachmai, yivurach, so it will be blessed, right? Your bread shall kol echad ve'echad, every person's bread will be blessed. So that's one way of looking at it. What it doesn't, okay, obviously we do believe in Torah, Hashem rewards every person for what they do, there's no question about it. But we'll see in a minute that here we are stressing something very powerful. There is a power of an individual, but in Torah we also believe in the power of the community. And a very big thing. That's why we know, especially on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, people try their hardest if they can to go to shul. Why don't you just daven at home? Some people might say, I can concentrate better at home. No. The collective davening is very powerful. And we learn that from here. This is one of the main places. Because it says, V'yavadatem, all of you together should serve Hashem. The davening between Tzibur, the davening together, is much more powerful. And also, as the Kliyakar is bringing out, that's one thing, you go to shul. But that's not enough. You have to bring somebody else. In other words, you're responsible. You have to remember about the other person who perhaps is unable and schlep them along as well, right? So we are responsible for each other because the bracha that we will get is dependent on the fact that the other person is there. Obviously, it sounds like it's selfishly motivated, but the idea is that we work together. We are a group that works together. We are literally dependent on each other. And this is what the Pasuk is telling us. And that's why he says, we're in the middle of number 6, V'yavdu kol zeri, I'm sorry, V'yesh oimrim. So now he says another thing, She'avoydas Hashem toiv yeser. That's what we're just saying. K'sherabim miskatzim lispalel. It's much better when many people gather together to daven. As he says, Kihen kel kibir lo yimas, right, Hashem, when it's a group, Hashem is not disgusted by it. He always pays attention when there's a group together. Aval b'inyanei achila, toiv yoser kishaichel kol echad pasay levadai. Very interesting. Eating doesn't have to always be together. You can eat your own bread. Davening, you should daven together. Very interesting. People sometimes have the opposite way. You know, they socialize in the eating, but it's no. The most important thing, as we say, is that our spiritual worship, our, you know, growing, that we should do together, and we can eat on our own, because that's really not so important, as he says. And he says something very interesting. Since most illnesses come from food, from external, in other words, what we're ingesting, but there are other things, he says, oy ali, and this is also, the Kliyakar is 300-400 years ago in this, I think it's the early 1700s. Oy al yedei hatagbaros hayesoidei ze al ze mibifnim. We might translate that today as an autoimmune, where the body itself is fighting itself. Very interesting that he mentions that. It's incredible, because really only now have they really developed that idea and realized how many illnesses come from that. But he says this we know, so it's both from what we're taking in from outside, which we can call the contagious illnesses as well as our own body fighting itself, which is not dependent on any environmental factor, rather the well-being of us, as he says. But he says, Al-Kain, that's why he says, Amar uberech es lachmecha v'esmei mecha v'hasi roisi machalom yikirbecha. That's the bracha in a nutshell. In other words, the food, the drink, and I will remove the illness from within you. That's referring to the illness that you develop on your own, so to speak, within your own body. So it's all covered in this bracha. Beautiful, beautiful bracha. And it is quite amazing, I have to say, how they were...
Actually,
Definitely. In many ways. In Torah, you find if we could live the right way, we would, if we would live. You know, even, it's interesting, because even the halacha of brachas would help people. People don't realize, because the making a bracha is quite complicated, which bracha to make on which food. And one thing we find with brachas that's interesting, because if you eat a certain amount, and then let's say, you know, we snack all day, and that's not a healthy way of eating. And with brachas, it's complicated. If you sit down and you eat a proper meal and you finish and you make a bracha before, then you make an after bracha. After you make that bracha, you're not supposed to eat anymore. So you see already you're putting a limit, if you want to say, and a certain discipline, and you're conscious and aware what you're eating, when you're eating. If we could follow it, we would have, even just that alone, already would give us such a, forget even what we're eating. Even that alone would already be amazing. But as we can see, we are aware of what we're eating because we make a specific bracha on specific foods. There's not one bracha on all foods, so we have to be aware what we're eating, when we're eating, when are we permitted to eat, when are we not permitted to eat. It's very interesting. All of these halachas really, they're not there for health. I'm not going to say they're there because Hashem said so. But if we live a proper life, what it lends itself to is that we are healthier and then we can serve Hashem better. So it all works together. It all goes in sync, as we say. And it's actually quite magnificent and quite amazing. And just to share with you, actually, even as he says here, that he will bless your water, the bracha that we make before we drink water, we know, is shahakol nihia. What do we say? Bidvarai, right? Which means that everything comes into being by your words, bidvarai, with your words. The truth is that if we think about it technically, really we shouldn't say shahakol nia bidvarai, we should say shahakol nia bima'amarai. Why? Why do I use that word ma'amarai? Ma'amarai, omar, saying. Diber, davar, is also a saying. When Hashem created the world, what do we say? How did Hashem create the world? With 10 utterances. Asara ma'amaris. The 10 utterances, Vayomer, right? Hashem said. So really, that's what we're alluding to when we're taking that food. Rather, what do we say, Bidvarai? Because what are we supposed to remember when we're eating? Not only that Hashem created the world in 6 days, like the creation initially of the physical food, but that reminds us, Bidvarai, of the Aseres HaDibrais, of the 10 commandments, which means that if a Jew, this is specifically, as we say, wants to be healthy, has to, his physical, so to speak, reality has to be tied in to his spiritual reality. It's not a separate thing. Bidvarai. Yes, Hashem created the world b'ma'amarai, it's true. But afterwards, when he gave us the Torah, what he did was, he made, that's what these psukim are telling us. He sort of made this, I don't know how you say it, like this combination where it only works together. You cannot separate. You can't say, I will live a physical healthy life if you don't have the spiritual component. It won't work. Ultimately, it won't work. So that's why even when we're taking a drink of water, what do we remind ourselves? That we are here because Hashem said. But what did Hashem say? The Torah. Right? So it's the spiritual legacy. It's the spiritual legacy which is also creating the physical world. The very important thing for us. Again, just taking a drink of water and already we can already be thinking quite a few things. Okay, so let's see now. Let's see, just wanted to, oh my gosh, time went so fast and there were so many beautiful more. Okay, so we'll have to continue next week. I'll just do one more, but so many beautiful things about the Avadatam. Okay, so next week in Mirtz Hashem, but I'll just show you number 7 and we'll stop here. So he says in number 7, Lo Yisiyeh Mishakela, right, that there won't be any woman who, unfortunately, right, this is talking really specifically about a baby passing away. That's what it says, like a baby that's born healthy and then after 2 or 3 weeks doesn't live. So he says, Mekan ve'eilech miyarei be'es kibush Eretz Yisrael. So all of these are all of these different kinds of, if you want to say, curses after this, that will happen when they conquer the land. And curses and blessings. U'mitchila hiftiach ha'kosov ha'echi yaseder his yashvus shel Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael. So he explains how we're going to settle when we enter the land of Israel. And what kind of a land is it? Be'eretz Yisrael ha'rechava, right? This wide, I mean, even though it's a very small land, but nevertheless, for the Jewish people of that time, the population wasn't so big. Meharoi lo'isaydar, much wider than for that generation. So he says, va'amar lo'isiyemat mishakela, which means, u'bazeh yisgaber yishav Eretz Yisrael, that's the way the land will be able to be strongly settled, al pi riboy piryo revia ber Yisrael, because the Jews who are living in the land, hopefully, will be able to populate it. And this is a bracha that Hashem is giving. So part of the ability to populate it is that the babies won't pass away. So that obviously is going to increase the population, and therefore we will be able to settle the land properly. And as he says, and if you live long lives, obviously, so if on the first hand babies are born, babies live, and then people pass away older, then the population increases. All very beautiful. You know what? Quickly, number 8, we have one more minute. So what kind of fear is he going to instill? And this is interesting, in the enemies, who pachad b'neshama. Well, this is not just talking about, like a little bit of fear from this gun. This is, as we would call now, real clinical anxiety, a real soul fear, if you want to say. And we know, and as we can say, this is the Ibn Ezra, again, interesting, in the 1200s, he even knows, anxiety, and we're talking about emotional anxiety, causes a weakness in the body. So he says, and a very big weakness. And that's why your enemy will put his back to you. Why? They'll be so afraid that they are not going to feel strong enough to face you, to fight you, and they will turn around and just run away. This is the fear that Hashem will instill on those nations. They won't know where it came from, but when they see you, and as we know, these were very strong, in those times, very powerful, strong nations, and we're talking about a Jewish people who were slaves for so many years, just spending a few years in the desert, having nothing at all, never trained an army, never trained as warriors. As they're about to enter the land, what does Hashem do? Instills fear into the nations, even though they are the warriors. It's pretty amazing. And this is a miracle that Hashem did for the Jewish people, and we say continues to do. Again, we have to, and we'll see next week a little bit more about what the Via Vadatem, what is the service of Hashem? We only saw so far that has to be collective, but I want to see a little bit more details of what it is. Okay, so we'll continue next week in Mirtz Hashem.